With apologies to Carol King, I like to describe my friendship with Jesus Christ in a paraphrase of a popular song. When you're down and troubled and you need someone to care and nothing is going right, close your eyes and think of him and soon he'll be there to brighten up even your darkest night. You just call out his name and you know wherever he is, he'll come running to see you again. Winter, spring, summer, or fall, all you got to do is call and he'll be there. Yes, he will. For you've got a friend. The Jesus I want to know is a loving friend. The longest conversation recorded in the Bible is between Jesus and an unnamed woman from Samaria. It's a story of spiritual transformation couched in the context of living water. It is an illustration of divine friendship that cuts across culture and transcends time. And for a few moments this morning, I invite you to listen in on this conversation and catch a glimpse of the kind of friendship that Jesus extends to this unnamed woman who comes in the middle of the day to draw water. There are three things about friendship that I want to say today. And the first is this. A friend comes in as the rest of the world is going out. A friend comes in as the rest of the world is going out. When the Pharisees started counting how many baptisms John was having and how many baptisms Jesus was having, it sounds like a Methodist meeting to me of some sort, but nevertheless, when that started taking place, Jesus decided that he would leave Judea and go back up to the good fishing territory of Galilee. And verse 4 of the story has an interesting statement. It says, and he had to go through Samaria. Now, in case you've forgotten the history of Palestine in Jesus' day, let me give you a little geography lesson. Judea is in southern Palestine. Galilee is in northern Palestine. And in between lies the area that is known as Samaria. And to the east of all of it is the Jordan River, which connects the Sea of Galilee with the Dead Sea. Now, it is true when Jews decided to go up north where the fishing is better, that instead of going through Samaria, they would go over and cross the Jordan River and then head north and then come back into the area of Galilee. But Jesus doesn't do it that way. He says, I must needs go through Samaria. Now, why it is that he had to go through Samaria? Well, you figure that out for yourself, but I have a sneaking suspicion that it had to do with his understanding that there was a woman there waiting for him by old Jacob's well. And that's exactly what takes place. For at Jacob's well, outside of the town of Sychar, while his disciples have gone in to buy food, hoping for a clergy discount, Jesus encounters this. Y'all will get that by tomorrow. Jesus encounters this woman who comes to draw water. The barriers between them are tremendous. While they're bigger than Mount Gerizim that sets to their back, Jesus is a man. She is a woman. Jewish men got up every morning and thanked God that they were not born a woman. Jesus is a Jew. She is a Samaritan. The two groups of people have been fighting for 700 years. For when the Assyrians invaded Samaria and took many exile, they left many behind. And that group of people intermarried with the Assyrians to the condemnation of the people in the south. And they didn't like it at all. In fact, years later, when they went down to Jerusalem and offered to help rebuild the temple after the exile of the Judeans, they said, "We don't want you around here polluting our holy places. Just go on back to Samaria. You don't belong here." And so they did. They separated religiously as well. While the Judeans worshipped at Jerusalem at the holy sites, it was true that Samaritans built their own holy place up on Mount Gerizim, and there they developed their rules and their rituals, and they developed their own religious traditions. And so we come to understand the tremendous barriers between Jesus and this unnamed woman at the well. By gender, by race, by religion, they're different. But friendship of a divine kind breaks every barrier down. And today at Jacob's well, there are two people in need of each other. Jesus needed a bucket to draw water, and she needed living water. And so they come together at this meeting. But isn't that like the friendship of Jesus, who is forever breaking down the barriers that we set up between people that separate us from one from another? Jesus comes trying to bring us together. After all, Paul said in Galatians 3:28, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are one in Jesus Christ." Friends come in when the rest of the world is going out. And that day Jesus befriended the woman at the well. One of my favorite poets is Robert Frost. And one of my favorite pieces that Robert Frost does is the piece he does entitled Mending Wall. It's the story about two New England farmers who go out every spring to repair the rock fences that have broken down in the freeze and thaw of the winter between them. Rock fences like out on Old Smyrna Road here in Brentwood. And so every spring they go out to keep this custom, each on their own side of the fence, walking along, picking up the boulders and putting them back in place, wearing their fingers raw with the rocks. But finally one old farmer begins to reason about, "Why we do this anyway? Oh, I know, it's the custom. The custom is good fences make good neighbors." But he begins to play with that a little more. And he says, "You know, that may be true if we had cattle or sheep or something of that nature, some sort of animals, but neither of us have them anymore. And the reality is that he's all pine and I'm all apple orchard, and my apples are not going to go over and get his pine cones. Why do we need these fences anyway?" And then he says something that all of us ought to hear. "Before I built a wall, I'd ask to know what I was walling in and walling out, and to whom I was like to give an offense. For something there is that doesn't love a wall, that wants it down." And that day Jesus walks into a lonely woman's life and breaks through the wall. Friends come in when the rest of the world is going out. The second thing I want to share with you today is that friends are the kind of people who ask, "How are you?" And then they stay around long enough to hear the answer. You understand? Friends say, "How you doing?" And then they look you in the eye, maybe take you by the hand, and wait for you to reply. Verse 6 of this little story tells us that it's high noon. It's the sixth hour. It's high noon. You see, women do not come to draw water at high noon. It's too hot. You get your water in the morning or the evening. And like the watering holes of our time, it's an occasion to socialize, to catch up on the news, to perpetuate the community gossip, and all is fine when talk is cheap unless the talk happens to be about you. And then it hurts, and it's painful, and it's hard. And you don't have to read much between the lines until you surmise that here's a person who's been gossiped about too much and talked about too often and whispered about too many times. And so she's finally had all she can stand of it. So she comes in the heat of the day to draw the necessities of the day rather than to listen to what people might have to say about her in the morning or the evening. You can find it in verse 16. Jesus says to her, go call your husband. And she replies, I have no husband. And Jesus says to her, you're right when you say I have no husband. The fact is that you've had five husbands and the one you now have is not your husband. What's happening here? Suddenly we've moved from cultural struggles to personal pain and her thirst for living water is real and profound. What was her situation in life? Well, I used to think I knew. I was a lot smarter years ago than I am now. I had the scriptures all figured out when I was 20. I'm not exactly sure what was happening to her. I don't know for sure. Evangelists for a long time like to describe her as promiscuous in her life. In some people's mind, the brighter the nails, the darker the mascara, the shorter the skirt, the greater the conversion. And they might be right. I don't know. Maybe she was widowed five times. Have you ever thought about that? Maybe five times in her life, she said goodbye to the dearest on earth to her, and she's feeling the grief and the pain and the sorrow of it all. She's thirsty, I know that. Maybe she's divorced five times. After all, no woman had anything to say about divorce in Jesus' day. It was a man's prerogative. Maybe five different men had rejected her in such a way as saying, I've had enough, you're out of here, and had left her a letter of divorcement. Maybe she burned the toast, I don't know. Maybe she couldn't bear a child, I don't know the circumstances, but maybe rejection had mounted up that many times in her life. All I know is that she's thirsty. She's thirsty for something that only God can satisfy. Maybe it doesn't matter, because we do know that our peace is often forfeited, and there are pains that we have to bear. We do know that we have trials and temptations. We do know sometimes that there's trouble everywhere. Yeah, we know what it is to be thirsty, don't we? To be needy on a given day. Sometimes we felt that nobody cares or understands us. Sometimes we've looked and searched for unconditional love and wound up brokenhearted. Sometimes we've longed to be comforted but have cried ourselves to sleep on a lonely pillow. Cares of the world have left us empty. And like the woman at the well, we're seeking for a spiritual solution to a deep, abiding thirst. I need to say something to you today that I hope you get. Only the Lord can satisfy that thirst in your soul. Only the Lord can satisfy that thirst that is in your soul. Somebody said, a good mother listens to your problems until you're bored with them, and so they do. Ralph Waldo Emerson once said, a friend is a person with whom I may be sincere, with whom I may think out loud and be free with all my thoughts. But Jesus said to his disciples in John 15:15, I hope you're reading through John, and if you've gotten that far yet, it's one of the great chapters about friendship. And he says to his disciples in that intimate dialogue, I'm no longer going to call you a servant. I'm going to call you my friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. You see, friends ask, how you doing? And then they stay around long enough to hear the answer. And Jesus is a friend like that. There's one more thing about friendship I want to say today. Friends are those who know us best and love us the most. You know that, don't you? Friends are those who know us the best and love us the most. A group of elementary children were asked once, what is a good friend? And their number one answer was, someone you can depend on. Somebody who's going to be there. Did you watch 2020 Friday Night Barbara Walters special? Barbara Walters asked singer Elton John, what's your greatest fear? And without hesitation, the great musician replied, my greatest fear is that I will not be loved in this life. A movie star was asked to define her greatest need. And she replied, my greatest need is to have someone know me, really know me, and not go away, not abandon me, not leave me on my own. A friend knows us best and loves us the most. Back in the late 1800s, George Matheson was deeply in love with a woman he planned to marry. But something happened in their relationship and she called off the wedding. And George, of course, was devastated and brokenhearted. And in the midst of his grief, he wrote a hymn that's in our hymnal. And it goes something like this. Oh, love that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul in thee. I give thee back the life I owe, that in thine ocean depths its flow may richer, fuller be. A friend knows us best and loves us the most. And Jesus is a friend like that. A friend says, how are you? And then stays around long enough to hear the answer. Jesus is a friend like that. A friend comes in when all the rest of the world is going out. Jesus is a friend like that. Do you know him as a friend? Are you thirsty for living water.